Have you ever considered a gift certificate to Eye Care of the Bighorns for someone who has vision correction? Many companies don't provide eye insurance, which makes the burden of annual eye exams and glasses or contact lenses an out-of-pocket expense. Eye Care of the Bighorns also carries your favorite sunglasses and athletic eye protection from names you love, like Maui Jim, Costa, and more. Stop by Eye Care of the Bighorns or call 307-674-0444 today.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Mandy Kolsiska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. Three-year-old Bowie is independent, loyal, and an absolute pro on a leash. He's a smart dog who approaches everyone with confidence. If you need more confidence, he'll be happy to train you. Nine-month-old Tom and Jerry are dynamic brothers who are friendly and affectionate. Tom is outgoing, while Jerry can be a bit shy until he gets to know you. The only thing better than one new kitty is two new kitties bonded for life.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, January 14th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
You as well.
Did you have a good one?
I did. Very low key. The older I get, the less exciting it becomes.
Yeah. The wife looked at me and said, "Hey, Happy New Year, by the way." It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's happening. Yeah.
Time for bed. But now, I know we've got a bunch of stuff we got to talk about. We're going to talk in depth about some activities that some people will probably see within the area. We don't want them to get too worried about the helicopters that they may see, coming up. But before I do, one thing that I covered yesterday that I just want folks to know, and that's the new fishing regulations have taken effect as of January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And you can either look at regulations online or come to the office. Yep.
Okay. So if you've got any questions, the resources are there, folks. I'm not sure there was too many big changes outside of the commercial aspect of everything.
Not in our region. Casper region had some changes. Some of the other regions did have some changes to be aware of. So if you travel and go elsewhere, for sure, pay attention, because where you normally go may have some changes.
Okay.
In our area, not too much, but pretty significant changes in other places.
Now make sure you know that before you throw your hook in the water. I don't want anyone to get sighted or in trouble. All right, moving on down the line, mule deer management. What mule deer management activities is Game and Fish going to be conducting in the Sheridan region this January that the public will probably notice?
We have two, actually. Very different projects, but they both do involve low-level aircraft flights. So the first one that's actually ongoing right now is our Upper Powder River Deer Sightability Survey. So what that is it's an aerial survey doing a very intensive look at population. So it's a more accurate, intensive survey than ground surveys. And it does involve a pilot and two observers who will fly certain areas. So the Upper Powder River Herd Unit is south of Buffalo. So that's going to be hunt areas 30, 32, 33, 163, and 169. So that's the whole herd. Those are the hunt areas that make up the herd unit. And it's west side of the interstate, south of Buffalo. So you might see flights taking place. They have started those already. They had set aside, I think, January 12th through the 20th to It's a lot of flights. This is a lot of time. It's very intensive, but it all depends on weather. So we say the 12th through the 20th, anticipating there may be days
they can't
due to weather you can't fly, which, you know, sounds like we got another big wind event coming in. Sounds like tomorrow and Friday. So, you know, they look at daily weather conditions and decide the pilot will make the call on, you know, when it's safe to fly. So those, you know, the two observers are looking, counting deer. The interesting thing about it, and I'm not the biologist, they know all the ins and outs, but basically they're accounting sometimes for animals they can't see. It's pretty interesting, the model that has been developed. So, for example, if they see five deer in an open, snow-covered area, you think you probably saw all the deer that were there, right? Dark animals on a light background, there's not much vegetation. You probably counted the five that were there versus another area where maybe you see five in a more vegetated area. You probably didn't see all of the deer that were there. And this model takes that into account. So it's pretty interesting. Again, just a more intensive way to get a look at population numbers, hopefully a more accurate population estimate. And this is the last herd unit, mule deer herd unit in the Sheridan region to have this done in the past 4 years. And then I believe they will start redoing that. So they only do one per year with this intensive look. So the one that was done first, I think they'll circle back next year. But for right now, for the next few days, if you see low-level aircraft down south of Buffalo, west side of the interstate, kind of that area, it very well could be this study, survey going on.
Now, the other one, is that the bigger, longer study?
Yeah. So yes, the Upper Powder River is a survey. So that's looking at a population survey. The other project we have, and it might start as early as this weekend, again, depending on weather, that is year four of a 5-year study. So we're starting year four of, it's the mule deer monitoring project. And this is a statewide project. They chose 5 deer herds around the state to do a very intensive look using GPS collars. So very different. This is more of a long-term study versus a population survey. So those are the herd unit that was chosen in our area is North Bighorns. And the hunt areas actually make kind of almost like a comma shape. So there are hunt areas along our side, the eastern side of the Bighorns, as well as hunt areas 50 to 53 on the Cody side. So it kind of, the north part of the Bighorns, but both sides of the mountain.
Was this the one that I attended south of KC that one time?
No, that was a different one. And that one was on the Upper Powder River deer herd that they're doing the survey, the population survey on the same area, same herd. That was a very, each study, each research project has very specific parameters that are developed. That one was, again, very intensive, looking at survival, movement, disease, all these different things that were affecting that herd that has been under management objective for a while. So that was quite intensive.
It really was.
Yeah. That one, again, it went on several years with captures. That one different than what we're doing with the one coming up here in the North Bighorns. That one, we actually, the capture crew, so this is a professional crew that comes in to do these captures. They would actually capture the animal and transport it back to a staging area. Mm-hmm. That's what you came along to see. And that's because there were very specific tests, measurements that were taking place. So
quite intensive.
Yeah. It was very intensive, yes. So they were doing blood samples. They were doing measurements of body size, weight. And they also did an ultrasound looking at body fat. to see, you know, what condition they were going into winter in. And this was usually done, oh gosh, I want to say November, December. So as these animals are starting to go into winter. And what they found was, it was pretty interesting that they were going into winter with as much body fat as some other herd units around the state were coming out of winter with.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, just pretty interesting information. I think they're still looking at data analysis with that. But again, very different kind of study. The one we're doing here in the North Bighorns, we do not have a staging area like that. In this case, the capture crew is netting animals from the air. The helicopter lands, lets a person out. They work up the animal on site. So they're going to...
No bag transfer like last time.
Nope. There's no transfer. You know, it's definitely, pretty intensive, short duration. These folks are very efficient in how they operate. They will put hobbles on the animal for safety. So hobble their feet and put a blindfold over so it calms the animal. But there are no immobilization drugs used or anything like that.
Wow.
The person just is very, again, very proficient. These people have done this for years and years on hundreds of animals. So they will work up the animal as quickly as possible, take some blood, and fit a GPS collar to the animal. That does take a little bit of time because you don't want it too loose or too tight. They're, you know, it's almost like a belt where they have options to tighten or loosen. They're very good at fitting it correctly, so it has minimal impact on the animal, and then the animal is released on site.
Now, and this study will essentially, what's the primary information we're trying to find out about the Northern Bighorn herd?
So first off, I would encourage folks to go to our website because we do have an annual report that's been done the past couple of years that kind of compiles a little bit of this information. And again, we're one of five herds around the state. So these are all kind of overarching things they're looking at. You know, movement's one of them. Where are they going? What habitats are they using seasonally? Looking at mortality, causes of mortality. So if one of the animals dies, the biologist gets out to the field as quickly as possible to try to determine cause of mortality. Juveniles have collars as well. So we're looking at survival. Are the young of last year, you know, how long are they surviving? So they're looking at actually several different things.
How many are they wanting to get collared for this entire study?
So at the beginning of every year, so again, this is year four. Next year will be the last year we do captures. Usually always done in January, this time frame. So the goal is to start each January with collars on 30 bucks, 80 does, and 100 juveniles.
Oh, wow.
So the juveniles are going to be in that six-month-old range. So these are ones that would have been born, you know, last summer.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so the captures that are taking place, there will be, of course, 100 new juveniles captured and collared. You start out with another 100 every year. But for the bucks and does, they are just replacing ones that have been lost in the past year. So, you know, if 10 bucks died last year, they're going to try and get 10 collars on bucks to get back up to that number 30.
And these collars stay on them for how long?
They are programmed to release in 2 years, I believe. For the juveniles, it'll be 1 year.
Programmed to release.
They drop off.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't have to go out and recapture to get my collar back.
You know, in some studies you do. But for these, I believe they are programmed to drop off. And then, again, the biologist goes out to collect the collar because the data... The majority of the data is stored on the collar.
So it's not transmitting everything. Yeah, all the
time. I think they come on, you know, again, this is to say battery life. If it's on all the time, sending signals, that's going to wear the battery down. So most of the data, and it's a location point every 2 hours. So
oh,
this
wow.
is hundreds of thousands of data points over time, but it's stored on the collar. I believe once a day or so, the biologist could go in and look and see like a general location, but just once every, you know, once a day or so, whereas the bulk of the data, you need to get that collar back in order to access.
That's really interesting. And now, there is a lot of information, as we were talking about before the show, a lot of information on the Wyoming Game and Fish website. Navigating through there may be, you know, kind of time-consuming, but once you get to that information, boy howdy, I'm here to tell you, you can find a lot of information on the deer herd that you may be hunting next year, information on their health, information on their migration. All these studies are trying to find out something about someone, and I find them really fascinating. I had a fantastic time when I went down there and helped you. Well, I didn't help really per se. I think you guys allowed me to do maybe one thing, but being close and actually watching this operation, it is efficient. It's very quick. And in that one, we were using immobilizing drugs on the deer. Oh, we weren't?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Now, I remember them being again, really still. Are they that calm once you...
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, immobilization drugs come with risks, like everything else. And so, yeah, it has been developed over time that, yes, they, again, they have hobbles on their legs, so they aren't able to kick you.
Yeah.
But putting the eye cover over calms them considerably. And then, of course, you know, you work as fast as you can to get them back up and going. That being said, maybe the ones you saw were calm. There were some that
kind of rowdy.
They're scared. So, you know, again, that's something we keep in mind. We want to minimize handling, minimize stress to the animal. And again, same with these studies in general. It is weighed very carefully. What is the information we're looking for? Are we going to get that information? How valuable will it be in order to, you know, is it worth doing? Is mm-hmm.
Is it worth the risk?
The risk, and stress to the animal, the expense, the effort, all of that. So,
and then trying to find ways to mitigate that risk.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, this capture crew is professional. This is their job and they're very efficient at it.
That seems like it'd be a pretty exciting job, in my opinion. All right, more with the Game and Fish right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Moss Holders is creating space for new inventory in the new year. That means tons of in-stock items have been priced to move. All month long, you can save 20, 30, even 50% off selected items. Every piece of clearance furniture is in stock. Most of them are one of a kind. So that means by shopping early, you'll get the best selection of clearance pricing. Whether you're wanting a new sofa, recliner, dining set, or bedroom pieces, Moss Holders has discounted furniture for every room in your home. Start off the new year with a new look at great pricing. Moss Holders clearance sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A winter Cirque reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it, the perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Hungry at lunchtime? Then come to lunch together every weekday from 12 to 12:45. Enjoy a home-cooked meal, absolutely free. Just neighbors, good food, and a warm welcome. Whether you're short on funds, short on groceries, or just for a meal with friends, Lunch Together is for you. Join us at the First Congregational Church, 100 West Worth. It's right across from the old First Interstate drive-thru.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're sitting with Wyoming Game and Fish Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Folks, registration is now open for summer camps at Whiskey Mountain Conservation Camp. Christina, what should families know about getting signed up and where do they find this information?
Well, registration opened 1st of January, I believe. And if you have not been to our Whiskey Mountain camp, it is an amazing place.
It sounds really big.
It's got multiple cabins. It has a big lodge. It is on Torrey Creek, set in a spectacular valley. I mean, it is a beautiful, beautiful, special place. Yep, it is amazing. Negative for us is it's a drive, you know. It's a good 4+ hours to get over there.
Wow.
I go over there at least once a year, sometimes a couple times a year for various things, and it's one of my favorite places to go. It's just a beautiful place. It was donated, the property and the cabins were donated for by a family many years ago, and since then it has been the site of education, camps, and things like that. So this year we have, I believe, 9, and they're an interesting variety, so should appeal to almost anyone. And most of these, I will say, are geared towards folks who don't have a lot of experience and want to learn more. So we want folks to know that, you know, this isn't an intimidating come to camp and, you know, you're doing marksmanship and all of that kind of stuff. It's meant to be learning. It's meant to be fun.
More like education camps.
They're education camps. And we have a couple different kind of target audiences depending on the camp. So a lot of these are families. So the whole family is invited. We have a youth camp, so one camp for boys, one camp for girls, and it's just for youth. And then we have a women's camp, Becoming an Outdoor Woman, and so that is, again, geared just for females. So kind of some different target audiences depending on the camp. So Adventure Camp is one, and that's just kind of a mixed bag of outdoor activities. So you're going to hike, do archery, maybe some canoeing, things like that, all kinds of fun things.
Really, the classic camping stuff and learning how to enjoy the outdoors.
Exactly. So that one is in end of June, 25th through the 28th. So almost all of these are going to be kind of in that several day, you know, work week kind of time frame, like 4 or 5 days. So 25th to 28th of June for that one. And again, families are welcome, and no limit on the number of folks in your family who could come, but they do want kids at least 6 years old to be able to participate in everything. And it's $150 a person. I believe almost all of these camps are about $150 a person. That's going to include your lodging, all the activities, and meals. And I will say the cook there is spectacular.
Really?
Yes, every time. That's one of the big draws for me is going to camp because, oh my gosh, you eat very well. She is, she and her team are amazing. So that $150 includes everything. You just have your transportation costs. So the youth camps I talk about, so that's going to be youth 12 to 15 years of age. Again, Boys camp is June 14th through the 20th. Girls camp will be in July, the 5th through the 11th. That one is going to do some of the same things with adventure camp, you know, a lot of outdoor just activities and fun things. But they do have game and fish personnel come and talk to them, you know, in case there's any that have interest in a career in natural resources. So we do have personnel that talk about their jobs and what they do. We have a hunter education camp for families. So this is where the whole family can come. And basically you go through all of the curriculum for a hunter education course. You take the test, you do all of that. It's just in a camp setting. And at the end, if everyone passes, you get your hunter education certificate.
So you can get certified.
Can get certified. Yep. It's just a neat opportunity to do it in a beautiful place with, you know, traditional classes. You know, you have that 12 to 14 hour mark of curriculum, and you'll cover all the same things, but there might just be a little more time for some fun things too.
Go into more detail about
detail. You know, get to do some archery things, which aren't necessarily included in traditional hunter education. So just neat opportunity. So that is the hunter education camp. Then we have a fishing camp. Again, families or individuals, whoever wants to go, and they're going to do fly fishing and spin casting. So both kind of both types of fishing they'll go over. And that is July 16th through the 19th. The Becoming an Outdoors Woman camp. This one is, it has become very, very popular over the past few years. And in fact, all these camps, most states around here offer a similar type camp, and all of them have been very popular. So this one does actually require an application. So you because they always have, I believe, more, you know, more folks wanting to attend than can attend. So even though we've kind of expanded it to allow more. So it is really popular. Again, a lot of fun. There will be two, June 5th through the 7th and August 7th through 9th. Again, just $150 a person, but you do have the application with that one. Then they've added, again, these bow camps is what we call them, Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Those were so popular, and they're introductory. A lot of attendees said, boy, we'd really like to go further into certain things. So there will be two what we call Beyond Bow camps this year. One is going to be focused on backpacking, which is kind of neat. So you will have a pretty in-depth, you know, how to safely do it, how to pack things, all of that. That's pretty neat. It's actually going to be in conjunction with the Office of Outdoor Recreation. So kind of have a partner agency helping us with that. And then there's a fly fishing Beyond Bow. So folks who said, wow, I really liked fishing in the first camp I took, and I'd really like to get, you know, a lot more in depth. So two of those, Beyond Bows. So they are both July 30th through August 2nd.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, if we want to apply for any of these or register for them, what do we need to do?
Very easy. If you go to our website at the top, across the top of the page towards the right, there's a link that says education and camps. Click on that and you'll find what you need.
Now, I've got about one more minute left with you. Let's talk about the Super Tag raffle.
Yeah, this has been open. So this is just a reminder for folks. Tickets can be purchased until January 31st. So this is the raffle for 10 different trophy and big game species around the state, plus the trifecta where you get three. Essentially, if you are the raffle winner for whatever species you put in for, you do still have to buy the license and your conservation stamp and all that, but you do get the option then of hunting in your choice of hunt area. So it's a pretty great opportunity. Those tickets are $10 each. The trifecta tickets are $30. You cannot buy these at licensed selling agents, like if where you would normally go to buy a fishing license or anything like that. You do have to buy them online. And again, that deadline's coming up January 31st, and they're going to announce winners in February sometime.
Christina, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Yes. It's always a pleasure seeing you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sage Community Arts. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness talking New Year's resolutions.
Tommy, hi. If eating better or getting fit is on your list, Teriyaki Madness has you covered. High protein, chicken, steak, tofu or salmon, real veggies, and bold flavors made fresh daily. And yes, we have gluten-free options too.
That sounds delicious.
Whether you're counting protein, cutting carbs, going gluten-free, or just want food that actually fuels your day, Teriyaki Madness is your go-to for healthy meals.
This year, eat smarter with Teriyaki Madness. Healthy never tasted this good.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Doug, I watched a video and tried fixing my car.
How'd that go?
I have extra bolts.
Oh, boy. That's why you trust the service department at Waring Chevrolet, Bob.
Factory-trained technicians, oil changes, brake repairs, alignments, a collision shop, and detailing. With our tire price match guarantee, you'll get the lowest price on brand-name tires as well. And oh, did I mention if you bring in a competitor's advertised service offer, we'll meet that as well.
Perfect. I'll save YouTube for my cookie.
Good idea, Bob.
Schedule online at WaringSheridan.com.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography, celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A Winter Cirque Reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Morning. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by the Sage Community Arts Executive Director, Jill Benson. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Floyd.
Good New Year.
It was a great New Year.
Quiet.
It's exceedingly quiet at this point. Oh, a little dauntingly so, but we have... The optimism that runs through Sage is one that I just absolutely love, and it's palpable, I think contagious to everyone. But we thought, why not kick off the new year with new floors at Sage? And everything is ready to go, except I only have half of my flooring.
Oh, so you're playing the waiting game.
Uh-huh. The other half is lost in the shipping ether that is the... Who knows? So we know the backup's coming, but it's just like... I had a great team that cleared out the gallery, and I'm like, none of us wants to do that more than once. So we're like, we're just going to wait until it's in, move everything back. And it was a great reminder of the plethora of art and experiences we have at Sage. Because my team did amazing laying it out for the member gallery. We got some, or the member pop-up show, got some new... display pieces, furniture to be able to just display it a better way. And it felt very open, but as we were trying to move everything from both exhibition and the member gallery, it just would not stop. We're like, there's so much art here and there. And really, at that point, we were so intimate with the art pieces, moving each one into storage. We're like, there is every type that you could be wanting. There is so The number of artists showing with this is amazing. And so it was a great reminder just to know how blessed we are to have such a wide range of phenomenal artists showing with us. So I really look at it as just this great way to kick off the new year. Everything's going to be really refreshed. The flooring that's in, it's going to be such a beautiful color. It's going to look so great. And just, it's going to start this year off fresh. And that's kind of, you always see those memes at the end of any year recently. It's like, it's the dumpster fire. Okay, going on. And I'm like, I would love to not feel that way at the end of 26. And I got to say, 25 was really, personally was great. But then for Sage was phenomenal.
If we can just replicate
what we did of 25, the energy, the ideas, the new experiences, the different art that we were able to give to the community, the different ways we were able to bring in collectors and different ways to engage the community at Sage, definitely is the energy we're bringing into 26. And we got a great team that's ready to go. We just need the floors.
Just need a foundation to it all. You know, but that's fantastic to hear when it comes to the amount of artists coming through the door. How about visitors in 25? Do you feel that your visitors' numbers increased, stayed the same?
They were pretty average from what we've been seeing year over year. We had, with the weather that it is of this, people are like, oh, winter. I'm like, if all winters were like this, it's like we can't really complain about the cold. So we actually did see much better traffic than we usually would see in a December, especially closing out the year, because, you know, at 60 to 70 degrees, it's like, why not go walk around
in the downtown?
But no, I feel that we were still very steady with everyone coming in and trying a few different things with when we would open the shows, doing a little more teasers to the community. It really actually brought a lot more people in to see, like, well, I see that you can kind of see through the windows, but then when you come in, you're not allowed in the gallery yet because it's not fully open to the public because it's waiting for the opening night. And it just created some more excitement. And especially with the number of kid camps we did.
Yeah, I was going to bring up partnerships in 25 because you really expanded that.
Yeah, and that just absolutely exploded. And what's so beautiful about that ripple effect of the kid camps is the seeing the kids come back, but then also their moms and dads, grandmas, aunts, uncles, whoever come to pick them up or part of their wider network come in and they're like, oh, this is where my kid got to come and explore. Mm. And then what's really beautiful is when a parent, one of their circle comes back and takes their own art class.
Yeah.
And they get to see it. We saw that a couple of times and it was just beautiful and so fun to get to connect to that next level with everyone. And we're already almost, our goal again is to have those 12 kid camps, structuring them a little differently, but we're, I think it looks very optimistic that we're going to be able to do that again. We have another great energy of how we can offer some more partnership classes like we did last year. We captured on the end of the year some really great ones. And it was, again, just showing how art can be so transformational, a really great center to connect. Who cares if you can't draw a stick figure? You're there in a completely unjudged situation. We just want you to be able to let that creativity flow. Maybe you are more of a writer, but just getting to have movement and feel the marker on the paper or watch the print go through the press, it's just, it does something to you to where you're like, oh, this is neat. I can start to, you know, tear the paper this way, or, oh, maybe my character's going to do this in the book. It's just, it allows so much to a space for things to grow and ideas to come in a very safe, supportive situation. And any critiques that come are just how to help you take that further, take that to the next level so that you can feel really confident creating that story, making that final print, getting your work up on the wall.
There's something about painting. My wife, who's an artist, is challenging herself to go into oils right
ooh,
now.
Ooh, very nice.
And it's a lot more involved than acrylics. Mm-hmm. And for those who do it, they certainly know.
Yeah.
But I will say there's something very visceral once you start throwing paint on canvas.
Mm-hmm.
I have painted four of my own paintings, and three of them are actually hanging up in people's homes.
Nice.
And so I can actually speak from the experience of, I've never done this before. I'm taking it on. I'm just going to see what happens. And they were experiments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a painter by any means. I don't want people to think that. But it's something that I wanted to try. And the reason why I'm telling you my experience is because as listeners hear about this, they may be on that fence.
Yes.
All of my paintings are horrible, in my opinion. But you know what? I can remember each one.
Mm-hmm.
They were all great to do, and in a way, were therapeutic.
Yes.
To do. I mean, they really stick with me because of what I was going through at the time of the painting. So if you're on the fence, folks, you're thinking, you know, is this something I should do? I'm not a painter. It doesn't matter. As Jill said, if you can only make a stick figure, then go in there and make your stick figure.
Yes.
There's something visceral about it. So, you know, we've been drawing on cave walls since we've been around. So there's definitely something about it. And if you're on the fence, I'd say jump. Go for it. Have a good time. And another thing that I would say is get out those cameras.
Yes.
And start taking photos. The Black and White Photography Exhibition. This is just around the corner. When we look back at the black and white photography, the original inspiration for this entire exhibition, did it begin with you and your, for lack of a better term, leadership administration there at Sage, or was something like this going on beforehand?
There, I would say a bit of a combination. We were trying to figure out how to kind of bring some different stuff to the photography shows, looking through the past of what we've done with them. There have been some specific themes that they've asked. Like there was open spaces. How do you interpret that? We've had hometown, which we did last year.
It's a great success.
It's a great success. Yeah. But we have, my first show as director in 21 was, it had already been, it was being installed. Keith Davis was doing the photography show. It was just do the best of the best. But the way he talked about black, some of the black and white photography that came in, and I, as colorful as I am as a person, I adore the stark contrast of black and white. When I do dabble into some of my own artwork, I stick truly just black and white. I don't even go into the grays. I mostly do some printmaking if I do that, but it is just black and white. And there's something to me that I just, that removing the color to make you see what those colors are through black and white, I think is just something that's absolutely phenomenal.
Great point. You know, I think about what strikes me about black and white imagery. It's contrast.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I took a photo a number of years ago and it was just a series of dried flowers.
Mm.
That's all it was with a single light on it. And for some reason, every time I look at that photograph, it still strikes me. It was just an experiment with light that didn't really matter, but there's something about it that hits me, and it's the textures and the contrast of all those different flowers in that vase and the way that the light hits each one differently.
Yes.
It still strikes me.
Well, and that's the next year when we were looking at one, we had said, can I ask Keith, like, who would you recommend? Or maybe 2 years later. And he's like, well, I would love to do it because I also have been thinking about a black and white show. And that was Magnificent Monochromes that year. And since then, it's just been one that's like, this has to stay somehow in our rotation because of the, especially with that show, it allowed me to learn so deeper all the different types of photography you can do. We had one, I unpacked it and I distinctly remember thinking, like, how did we get a drawing, a pencil drawing put in here? How did we miss that? But it was actually a platinum type, like, like a tintype, but with platinum.
Oh, wow.
And the way that it did, and it was a cow standing in water, like in the ocean, which is very, in itself very fascinating. But the lines that it created of how it etched onto the, and I'm butchering probably the process of this as much as I can remember, but how it transferred onto the platinum and then the paper and everything is like, this is phenomenal. It has made me think that this is a completely different type of art and medium that's being made. And I actually had to call Keith and I was like, is this right? He's like, oh yeah, this is photography. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. So he's like, I'm like, I trust you. I have no idea what's going on. But that just, you know, truly, it's like the little emoji, mind blown. I was like, this is so cool. And so that has been one that's like, okay, maybe not every year, but every other year, we want to have this black and white photography show. And last year, I had such an amazing opportunity to have this, as I've said, gallery management class. And that's where I met Alex Pigeon, and seeing his photography and the way that he, the subjects he worked with, but also the way he just talked about photography and his experience in the different shows he's curated. I'm like, I think he would be the one for this show. And he was so excited to do it. And then what he's written about, we asked him, like, tell us about what you did to pull this show together, what pictures. And he said some of them we could really tell just the talent that was behind there, how they captured it. But others were the way it was caught. He's like, there was a visceral gut reaction that just pulled me into it. Mm-hmm. The light, the subject matter. And there's one specifically he called out in his, we have it posted, that he said, it's just this visceral reaction of a young boy looking distraught, thrown on the ground. And I know the person who did that, and I've seen the original where it was cropped out, and he's just an exhausted child throwing himself on the ground at Disney World. And then the dad's in the background eating a chicken leg. It's that in itself, but the way she cropped it down just to that and how he spoke to it, it has this totally different scene. He's like, I know he's okay, but I just had this emotional reaction of like the child and the Spider-Man mask. What is going on? And I'm like, and so that's kind of the theme these very emotional, physical reactions to these images that he has. And with that in mind, as we've been unpacking and looking at the imagery, it's like, oh, what an interesting way. We'll definitely have his quote put up there because I think that's such a fun way to lead people in, but then also have it to where they can come and do it themselves and then read his quote about it. Because the black and white, it just pulls you in a totally different way. And we have everything from portraiture to cats on a fence post to beautiful landscapes in this show. But there is this tie. You can see that is, as you read it, there is something, you know, as first we're just going through the images, there's something that has tied this together. First, you can feel that there was something that he was looking for. And then as you talked, that it's just this reaction that the pure form of black and white drew you in viscerally, physically, emotionally is what tied this show together. And it will be up next week, probably by the end of the week. Depending on flooring. We've been saying the 20th, but we'll launch a lot of our online, the digital catalog will launch on the 20th. So everyone can see that, build some anticipation. I'm anticipating by the weekend, what would that put it? The 24th, 25th, it'll be open for view. And then the awards reception will be January 29th. And that's okay. Where you'll get to meet a lot of the artists. Several are in town or close that they do plan to attend, especially as we've seen the weather. That could be a boon for us that people can actually travel.
Yeah, right. Actually attend the show this year.
Can actually come. So, and then I don't believe Alex is able to attend. He is in New York, so it's not quite just a little pop over commute. Yeah. So, but
I'll tell you this about photography. You might stare at a painting and it may strike you, but you may not realize why. The technique or whatever. When it comes to photography, you could be walking past a photo. Mm-hmm. You have no idea why it tugs on an emotion, whether that, it doesn't matter what the emotion is, as long as it's an emotion. And you might not be able to sit there and break down the composition, but most people know a good photo when they see one.
Yes.
And many don't know why it's such a good photo.
Yeah.
But I think we, as a species, you know, our brains are programmed to find certain things, to look at certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a photographer who understands composition and they wait for the right moment,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of patience that goes into these works of art.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just by chance. You get lucky. Mm-hmm. My photography teacher used to say, sometimes you just get lucky. Other times, you're waiting for hours for just one image.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the newspaper, I probably took 300 photos per event and would use one, maybe two.
Right.
I mean, it was intense. But there's something very human about the way we look at photography.
Yes.
And I would encourage everyone, stop in. Look at these photos. They were, you know, juried by somebody who really knows what he's doing. See what strikes you.
Yes.
And then ask yourself why.
Yes. We want to hear that conversation. We want to hear, and even if you just want to sit there and take it in yourself, we have places to sit and think and let it drink into you of why does this one speak to me? Or why does this one, the emotions that it strikes makes me want to step away from it. Because that's also a beautiful reaction.
Yep.
You don't have to be like, oh, I love it. I'm going to hate it in my house. La, la, la. No, you can be like, I am disturbed by, I don't know why. The way that this is just, we're not clicking. And I've had some artwork like that come through our shows. And I'm excited that it's in there. Because like, this is just disturbing. But it adds this next layer to it to show that it's not all just fluffy rainbows or beautification. It's a way to delve deeper into yourself to know, like, what are you feeling? Let those feels come. But then you can also allow yourself to see the cute little praying mantis and someone who's not a buggy person to be like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know I could say cute and mantis together. So allow yourself to feel those different feels.
Jill, one more time. The artist's reception. When's that going to be?
That will be January 29th, 5:30 to 7:30, and awards will be announced at 6, and we cannot wait to see you all in the gallery.
Jill, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
It's thank you so much, Floyd.
I love talking art with you, my friend.
It's the best.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it, and we'll stand behind it after the sale, because